But I remember my brother telling me, my older brother, Terence, telling me some time ago, he said, never do anything, he says, for yourself that you can get other people to do for you. I'm not sure how wise that particular saying was, but it's just come to mind because I thought this morning we could share the reading of Psalm 139 between us. There's 24 verses, so I'm sure that there's four nice, eloquent volunteers who will read the first six verses, and then the next six, and then the next. So up to verse 6, then 7 to 12, and so on through to the end. Any volunteers? Well done, Stephen. And then when Stephen's read, somebody else just stand up. And if two of you want to do it, that's fine too, isn't it? Okay, Stephen.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you.
For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Thank you. Well, thank you all of you. And that last verse is the has been made into our last hymn. So, actually, having read that, I might as well go home, mightn't I? I mean, doesn't it just say everything? Yeah, it's an amazing psalm. Yeah. Well, we're going to sing together again now, and I'm not sure what the little warning bit at the top means. I'm interested to find out. A very lively version. What a friend we have in Jesus. Okay, take it away, Chris. No dancing in the aisles.
Sins and griefs to bear. take it to the Lord in prayer.
You should have seen all the foot tapping going on. I thought some of you were going to get up and dance in the aisles. Wonderful. Yeah, it's a lovely old hymn though. And what truths are embodied in those simple lines that, can't remember his name, wrote. Who was it? Who wrote that hymn? I have to go and look it up when I get home. I was looking at Andrew. Andrew's normally the fault.
I didn't write it.
Gosh. Okay. Well, before we come and have a look at God's word, let's just pray together. Let me just read the words of one of Townend's hymns as a prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you now, speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us, truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and your earth is filled with your glory. Amen. Well, I read that psalm because I want to ask you a question. And the question is quite a simple one. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who are you? It's a good question to ask of ourselves sometimes, because the converse of that is, who do other people think we are? Do they think we are Christians? Do they know that we come to church in the morning? Do they know we love and praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ? So it's a question we should ask ourselves sometimes, who do we think we are? And I want to start with, it's a bit of a joke actually, but it has got a serious side to it. There was a man who got a job in a zoo, and their gorilla in the zoo had died, and they needed someone to dress up and go in there and keep the crowd happy while they imported another gorilla from somewhere else. He only had to do it for a few days, and the pay was good, so he decided that he'd go in and take this job on. And so they'd got this brilliant suit, so he tried on the suit, it fitted perfectly, he looked just like a gorilla. And he went out, he took his position at the back of the cage, but nobody knew that it wasn't a real gorilla. And after a while, he got tired of just sitting there, so he got up and he made a few gorilla noises and jumped around for a bit. And people started throwing peanuts. And he thought this was great, you know, he got into this. And the people liked him, and so he started to climb a tree, and they clapped and threw more peanuts to him. And eventually he started swinging on one of the vines. Well, the crowd thought this was fantastic and wonderful, and they clapped, and they were in uproar, really. And he thought it was great, and he played up to the crowd, swinging higher and higher and higher, until suddenly the vine snapped, and he flew over the top of the cage, into the cage next door. And there, not 10 feet away from him, was this massive, hungry-looking lion. Well, the poor bloke, he was... he panicked and he started jumping up and trying to run away, but he was frozen to the spot. So he started screaming and saying, "Help, help, get me out of here." And all of a sudden the lion just came up and jumped on top of him, pinned him to the ground and said, "Will you shut up or you'll get us both fired?" Yeah, it's a good... The trouble is, the reason I found that in a book of sermon illustrations, believe it or not. But the reason that it was in that book of sermon illustrations is because actually we all are guilty of that, aren't we? We do wear a mask, and we do often wear a suit, and we want others to see us in a particular way. And in fact, sometimes we even want to see ourselves in a particular light as well. We all have our gorilla suits. Sometimes we want to look as though we're very tough or very wise. And we can get very good at playing the part. You know, we can come on a Sunday morning and we can take off our real us and put something on just to come to church, just so that other people perhaps see us as very religious, or, you know, whatever it might be. But just as wearing a gorilla suit didn't make that poor guy strong or courageous, didn't make the lion more of a lion, did it? They weren't what they appeared to be. And so when we put our suits on, just doing the things that Christians do, it doesn't actually make us a Christian. But sadly, across our world, across Britain now this morning, millions are going to church. Millions are flocking in and reading and studying the Bible, praying, singing praises. But none of those things, good things though they might be to do, and we should do them, we should praise our God and pray and read our Bibles, of course, but it doesn't make you into a Christian. It doesn't make them into a Christian. A Christian is about what's going on inside, underneath the suit. A Christian is about what's going on inside our hearts. A Christian is someone who's trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted in their heart, not just in their head, but trusted in their heart that Jesus, the very Son of God, gave up the glories of heaven, came down here, lived amongst us, and then died on the cross in our place. Not for anything that he had done, but for everything that we had that was wrong and that was sinful. Christian is someone who has asked Jesus to forgive them for their sins. Someone who's asked Jesus to come and live in their hearts. And each one of us that are gathered here this morning who have done that, he is our Lord. And we can each say, "I know the Lord Jesus Christ." That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So a Christian doesn't actually have any need of a mask to look good. Because as Psalm 139 explains beautifully, doesn't it? It explains we're exactly when we have... when we become a Christian, when we know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're exactly as God created us to be, the way he wants us to be. So if you're a Christian today, this psalm, Psalm 139, it's a wonderful comfort, isn't it, to read it. It's a reminder of just how privileged we are to be a child of God. And this psalm brings peace and joy and confidence, even in the darkest of days. And it makes us want to sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus," foot tapping like that, because it's such a wonderful, cheerful, great thing to sing about. But if you're not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord in that way, actually this psalm is a bit like facing a real lion while you're in a gorilla suit. It's terrifying. Had that lion been real that he was facing, that was an awful situation to be in, wasn't it? So we all of us need to read and really consider this psalm carefully and honestly in our own hearts. So who does it say we are? Who are you? Well, the first six verses tell us that we're somebody known by God. Somebody known by God, not just known, but known fully and perfectly and completely. Verse 1 to 4, it tells us how God knows us in amazing detail, doesn't it? It tells us God has examined us. It's like he's, you know, taken that gorilla suit out and then opened up your heart and knows it completely and utterly. And the world might think that we've got the strength of the gorilla or a lion, but it's God who really sees on the inside who we actually are. And he knows every action we've ever taken. He knows everything, every thought we've ever had. Wow. When you just think about that, that's amazing, isn't it? And if that wasn't enough, he knows every word we've ever spoken before we've even said it. And in fact, every word that we will speak, past, present and future, he knows it completely. I think if you knew a fraction of what God knows about me, you certainly wouldn't have me standing here in front of you. And I think it's the same for all of us, isn't it? I remember Christianity Explored.
Rico Tice.
If you've seen Christianity Explored, at least the early ones, do you remember that great hall that he had in the video? And on all the walls of this hall were photographs. And he said, "They're the photographs of everything you've ever said or everything you've ever done in your life." Yeah. And to have somebody go in there and see that. Well, if we knew a fraction of what God knows about us, I don't think we'd ever speak to each other about us. And yet, In spite of all that God knows about me and you as well, he thinks about us. Positive, loving thoughts all of the time. Verses 5 and 6. Sorry. I've got the wrong verse there. Verse 17. Yeah. How precious are your thoughts to me? How vast is the sum of them? If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I am awake, I am still with you. God thinks about us all of the time. The psalmist isn't saying, if I count them, they are more than the sand, and there's a limit to that. He's saying, no, God thinks about us lovingly, all the time. And then in verses 5 and 6, it goes on, it says, you hem me in behind and before and lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain it. The psalmist is just lost for words. David's just lost for words, isn't he? You see, we're held in the palm of his hand. We're hemmed in before and behind. The word used there for being hemmed in is the same word that's used when you besiege a city. You put your army all the way around it so that the city is, and the people are right in the very centre. So we're besieged by God's care all of the time. That's wonderful, isn't it? And this knowledge is so comprehensive, so detailed, so intimate. David is, yeah, he's just lost for words. Such knowledge, he said, is too high. I can't attain it. But for us Christians, do you see what a massive comfort that is? That God knows us in this wonderful way. It fills us with awe and wonder at a God who can do this. And it gives us real peace and confidence that all is well. Why? Not because God's going to judge us as a result of all that he knows about us. Jesus has taken all that punishment, all that judgment. That's done. Jesus bore it on the cross for us. Now, it gives us peace and confidence that all is well because God knows that Jesus took all our punishment, and all he wants now is for our good. He loves us. John Piper has this phrase, that's a sentence that is quite often quoted. It's so true, isn't it? You are more sinful than you can know, but more loved than you can imagine. That's our God. So why would we want to wear a mask? Why would we want to be have a gorilla suit on? You know, we're unique. We've been lovingly crafted by God, made with his very own hands, and made in the divine image. And when we have all our joys and tears and smiles, they're all precious to him because they love him, because he loves us. And we can be certain that he's going to hold us 100% safe in the palm of his hands, no matter how dark the night, no matter how bleak and starless and without hope our situation might be. He holds us 100% time, 100% safe. And in him, there is always, always peace. And then verses 7 to 12. Who are you? Well, I'm not sure this is a word, actually. But I've got someone who is inseparable from God. Someone who is inseparable from God. You know, this verse, or these verses here, they explain how complete God's oversight of us is. No matter who may come along and sow the seeds of doubt that God could lose sight of us, God's forgotten about you. It might be somebody else, it might be a situation, it might even be ourselves. God's forgotten about you. He's lost sight. He's dropped the ball as far as you're concerned. But he never has he? These verses dispel all the doubts that we might have that God, we could be separated from God. David asks, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven. Yeah, heaven. Yeah, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Yeah, can't think of anywhere more lonely than the middle of the sea. Being out there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light about me be night. Well, even the darkness is not dark to you. and the night is as bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. In him there is no darkness. See, God sees you even in the darkest, dark situation that you could ever be in. He cannot let you go. Maybe you've sinned dreadfully, horribly, and all you want to do is hide away from God. Well, he's still there. Maybe you're so ashamed of your sin that you just shut out anything to do with God in any way, shape or form. Well, he's still holding on to your hand, and he still loves you as always. You can't do anything to make him love you less. Or maybe you've just walked away from him. Well, you might have done, but he's still holding your hand. Maybe there's terrible trouble in your life, and there is for many Christians around the world today. And you can't see him. All that you can see in front of you is death and danger and despair and no hope. And even then, God is still holding on to your hand. He's still holding on to you. This psalm assures us, and these verses assure us, that wherever we may be, the farthest, longest, deepest, highest, imaginable, unimaginable place, God is always, always, always there, holding on to your hand and still loves you. Even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. These are amazing truths, aren't they, that we must remind ourselves of. And verses 13 to 24. Who are you? Well, we're someone God loves forever and forever and forever. And we can keep saying that, can't we? God watched us grow as an embryo, and it grew under God's direction when we were still in the womb, even before all of that. We grew up into the people that we are today under God's direction. He wrote all our days in his book before one of them came to be. Now, what a mystery is that? He wrote about today in a book, and it's written there in heaven. It's one of God's books. And he wrote it before any one of these days came to be. Everything about us, all our days, nothing's going to take God by surprise. He's not going to get up one morning and find that, oh, this is dreadful, what's happened to Adrian or Stephen or Pat or whatever. It's not going to take him by surprise, because he knows it. It's written down in his book. Everything is known and is planned by God. And Revelation chapter 3 verse 5 tells us that our names are written in his book of life. And if we know and love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, those names will never, ever, ever be blotted out. So Christians will always live forever. To the one who conquers, Revelation 3:5. To the one who conquers, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, not a gorilla suit, will be clothed in white garments. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Isn't that amazing? And because a Christian is clothed in these holy white garments that Jesus bought on the cross for us, the Christian knows with complete confidence, doesn't he, that God will always, always be able to look on him with the same favour he looks on his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our name is indelibly written in the God's book of life. How precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. And we will wake up tomorrow. Yeah, we will go to bed tonight. God willing, we will wake up tomorrow somewhere, if we're a Christian, either here or in heaven. We will wake up, and despite all that God knows about us, even what we will do that day, he will still be with us and love us. In fact, there's never going to be another day, if you're a Christian, another moment, not ever, when he is not with us. It's no wonder we need to come and sing these songs of praise, is it? We need to come every Sunday, and more actually, and sing the praises of him who loves us in such a way. And we want his enemies, don't we? We hate not the enemies in the way that the world hates people, but we hate the enemies of Christ because we want them to change. We want them to come and know this Lord Jesus Christ in the same way that we know him too. Who are you? Well, you're someone who is besieged by God's care every second of every day. And when we wake every day, God will still be holding our hand and he will still love us. We are someone whose name will always, always be written in the book of life. And are we someone in a mask? We don't need to wear a mask, do we? We're someone who wears the robe of Christ's pure divine righteousness because we love Jesus. We trust in his forgiveness. And we can now say without fear and with great joy and mean these last couple of verses of the psalm. It's only Christians who can say these verses, isn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we need to do that regularly, don't we? Because if we examine our own hearts, we're in our own strength. We won't be able to see all that's in there. We need God to look deep down inside our hearts and to show us where we're going wrong. But we can know that when we confess those sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will forgive us and cleanse us from all that unrighteousness. And he will lead us in the way everlasting. I love the verse. One of my favourite verses, I think, is in Psalm 116, verse 7. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and gracious God, we thank you for the depth of this psalm. Father, the things that are written in there, Lord, we could go on exploring and thinking and meditating and praising you for eternity. Father, we will need eternity to understand just something of the love and the care that you have shown towards us. We thank you that you are God. And we thank you that you gave the Lord Jesus Christ to give us that purchase for us that robe of righteousness to pay the cost of all of our sins. We thank you for him. And we thank you for the position that we now have before you. And Father, as we tend to try and wear masks and suits in the day ahead, help us to be just what you have created us to be, children of the living God. So thank you for this psalm. We praise you for it now, for the whole of Scripture and all your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing this final hymn, shall we? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Let's sing this from our hearts just now. Thank you. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Amen.